Listen, this story is absolutely appalling, and it is not something we haven't heard before. And that makes it even more heartbreaking because, you know, the story out of London from 2018 at the World Junior Hockey Tournament, it was extremely disturbing and heartbreaking. But, you know, some people could say, well, that was a one-off. That was an awful thing that occurred. That was a crime. But when you hear that, there is another story that is incredibly similar to that. And in fact, that there's video to go along with it that happened in 2003 at the World Junior Hockey lineup. It's really concerning. I mean, you think to yourself, what is happening? And this can't just be a situation where we're talking about a couple of bad apples. There's pattern here. And this is a criminal situation. It's an of course, nothing's been proven in court. But this, if this is proven to be something that actually occurred, that's a crime. Four retired NHL players who were part of Canada's 2003 World Junior lineup say that they were unaware of an alleged group sex assault involving members of that team in Halifax that year. But do we really expect players to come forward now and say, oh yeah, I knew about it? Because we're talking about a crime, not just bad behavior. If you're aware of a crime, isn't it your duty to report it? And if you don't, I think that says a lot about who you are as a person. And it's possible that they didn't know. It is possible. So if we take their word for it that they didn't know, imagine how messed up those relationships are now. Because that was your team. Those were people that you trusted. I'd like to welcome onto the show Christy Alain. She is a researcher who's studied men's hockey for years, an associate professor of sociology at St. Thomas University in Fredericton, and I think a great guest to have to talk about this. Christy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You have been calling for, the culture around hockey to change for years, and you say that instances of sexual abuse in sport go back decades. Was there an incident or an event that made you take up the charge?
Yeah, there's been a couple of things. I mean, I grew up at the time that Laura Robinson was writing her book and uncovering her book Crossing the Line in the mid-90s, starting to uncover a really deeply problematic culture in men's elite level hockey in Canada, documenting the ways, the complex ways these things are kind of interconnected, from hazing, where, you know, player-on-player sexual violence, to sexual violence for players, completing acts of sexual violence against women and others. And I think, you know, at that time, there was a small public outcry. CBC did a documentary on it. Laura Robinson published her book. And hockey responded, not in an open and transparent way, but what it did was it shut Laura Robinson out. You know, it revoked her press pass. It refused to speak to her. And it became even more quiet, more secretive, more closed off from prying eyes, from the press, from people who might ask critical and important questions about hockey. So this has been going on for a long time. I suspect, you know, Laura Robinson's text documents back a couple of decades. And if we look at some of the allegations of sexual abuse in the Canadian Hockey League and in other elite level men's hockey leagues, we can see this going back, you know, to at least the 70s, and I would have to think even before that. So we have to ask, you know, what's going on, why we've reached the moment now where we can ask these kinds of questions and start to throw some light on what's going on. You know, I think culturally we've reached a moment where we're now saying enough is enough. We don't like this. We can't stand for this. There's a problem with the culture of hockey. It's not just with Hockey Canada. It's men's elite level hockey throughout the country, starting from the youngest players up to the most famous players. And we have to do something about it. We're at a really important cultural moment now, where I think that we can start to ask these hard questions and demand a better hockey system.
Well, What I find incredibly disturbing is what we're talking about, you know, the possibility of, and, you know, when you look at Bill Cosby, it's a very similar thing. And Bill Cosby has been proven to be a rapist. He just was let out on a technicality. So we're talking about rape here. I mean, that's a crime. It's absolutely appalling. So if this, you know, how does hockey How do hockey and rape go hand in hand? What is going on? What is going on?
Well, I mean, these are cultures of violence. These players come into the league through a process of violence. They're often hazed. We can think about the class action lawsuit that's being launched against the Ontario Hockey League today around these hazing rituals. This creates a culture of secrecy. You know, these players have experienced sexual violence themselves, against themselves. It bonds them into a culture of secrecy. The people who run the league have come through these systems themselves. It becomes quite normalized. And it makes ripe the possibilities of these kinds of things. And on top of that, I mean, men's elite level hockey culture is deeply misogynistic. We can think about the language we use to disparage other players. They're often tied to, calling people out for their sexuality, for their gender identity. These are insults instead of, just comments about who people are. All of these things make this possible. But the fact that these things happen, I mean, we live in a culture where sexual violence happens. We live in a culture that is misogynistic. The fact that people would keep this a secret, from 2003 or 2018 coming forward, I mean, really speaks to how closed hockey culture is to the rest of the world, how we don't get to see what's going on there. There's a deep culture of conformity, of privacy, of secrecy, and these are the things that really need to change.
Do you think that there are a couple of hockey players that are saying now, and they said it over the weekend, that they had no idea what was going on during that 2003 World Junior Hockey Tournament that happened in Halifax. Is it possible that things can be kept secret within a team like that? Or is it a situation where people have something that is shameful done to them that they'd like to keep secret, so that breeds more secrecy, and we've got people trapped in a loop here?
I think we have people trapped in a loop. We can't know what other teammates knew or possibly knew. I think, judging by some of the comments that have been made publicly, one of the players has written a book. We knew that there was a lot of sex happening and that players were aware of this. Did the players know what actually happened? It's really hard to say. But the culture of hockey allows these kinds of things to happen, and it allows them to be kept secret for long, long periods of time. I mean, it's amazing that even if we take at face value the fact that six players knew what was going on, that this has been able to be kept a secret, not just six players, but the person who owned the video camera and others who had seen this video. All of these people protected the culture of hockey, protected these players, and continue to protect them, have protected them, now for decades. Almost.
Where do we start to change then? How do we start to change? Do people have to go to jail?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think focusing on the individual might be the wrong place, right? I mean, we can send these players to jail, but it won't change the culture of hockey. It'll punish perpetrators of crime. And I'm not saying we shouldn't punish perpetrators of crime. We absolutely should. But that's the problem is with the culture of hockey. So we have to think about how do we make a wholesale change in these leagues, from the littlest players to the most famous players. And that happens by opening things up, by insisting on real transparency, by cleaning house. People who have come through this system, who have been victimized or victims of abuse, who perpetrate abuse, cannot be the people and who are committed to maintaining the culture of hockey, like Hockey Canada, by buying the silence of people who've been victimized by this culture, cannot be the people in charge of making change, right? People who are committed to keeping these things private, to having people sign non-disclosure agreements, to not disclosing how these funds were used to buy the silence of potentially other people who'd been victims of abuse, these can't be the people in charge of leading the way. I think at this point, what we need to demand is that not just Hockey Canada, but throughout hockey, that we have more voices, diverse voices, people who have different experiences, not just hockey playing men who'd been through this system themselves. These people have proven time and time again that they're not capable of making the changes that we need to see hockey be better. Right, to make a better hockey culture. So we need to demand that people outside of hockey have more say, more voice, and that there's transparency throughout all leagues. Cultures of silence cannot continue to exist. This should not be allowed.
What do you say to people that say, well, this is just, this is a few bad apples. These are extreme but isolated events. You've studied men's hockey for years.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, the fact is it's not. The fact that we only hear about this, at certain intervals speaks more to where these hockey players stand in the Canadian imagination. They are well protected. Mm. There's lots of pressure on people who bring forward claims of abuse, even within the leagues themselves, players who bring forward claims that they themselves have been abused. We can think about, the incident in Windsor with Akeem Alou and Steve Downey going back a ways. That was a hazing incident that turned violent. Instead of, Steve Downey being run out of the league, the following year he was put on the World Junior team by Hockey Canada. These problems are going to persist until we have real change.
Christy, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. It's a difficult topic to talk about, but we have to talk about it because there won't be any change if we just brush it under the rug.
Exactly. Yeah.
Have a great day. Christy Allain is a researcher who studied men's hockey for years, associate professor of sociology at St. Thomas University in Fredericton.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
It'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.